Thank you very much. I have an idea now. So, yes, what I would like to do is I would like to give you a model to practice with, and some of you might like to have a pen and a paper and take notes at a specific time, because these things which I will be talking about are very, very, let me say, they are very powerful spiritual tools which will really move you forward. So let me please start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satarine. As we all know, behind Avanti is a great vision to deliver a specific type of education, which is maybe the unique aspect or unique feature of this school. There is on the flag of Avanti three big lines shine to offer an educational excellence, then second line to take care of the character formation, and the third line to give a spiritual insight, not just a theory, not just a dogma, not just a philosophy, but a realization, a realized insight. So whenever we have a big vision, then it's important that we keep the vision in front of us, but it is also important to deal wisely with whatever obstacles appear as we walk along to come closer to our vision. There is a very nice proverb in Arabia. I will first give you the context. The people of Arabia often live in deserts. They have a few camels, and they are nomads, which go according to the seasons to areas in the desert, which help them to live their life and survive and so on. So these nomads have a very interesting proverb. They say, I've written this down, the journey is not so difficult because the goal is so far. No, the journey is difficult because there is a stone in the shoe. very wisely put. Yes, Avanti has a wonderful vision which lies really, it's really a big vision, I would say, to have such three goals and have people who have learned a lot, who have a good character when they leave the school and who are capable to explore the vastness of the spiritual reality in their lives. That's a huge vision. That is not so difficult if we are interested in the vision, if we have seen, yes, this is also my purpose. That's not so difficult. But when there is an obstacle in the here and now, I'm thinking of really difficult relationships which do happen amongst us human beings. I'm thinking of discouragement because of outer circumstances. I can imagine that the COVID-19 has placed a lot into people's life, and our teachers are and staff members are also in some ways affected by how different things are going on now. These are stones which come in the shoe and which make it difficult to walk on. Now, I would like to offer to you a very, very effective little tool that will help you to deal with the shoe in the stone, the stone in the shoe, and will also empower you to move forward with joy and with energy in your effort to come closer to the goal, which is in some ways also should be your personal passion, your personal goal. I would like to again talk to you about the Tree of Life model in practical terms. I think we all have heard about this. I have had one retreat just dedicated to this. Our life is, maybe you can give me a piece of paper, or you are a good painter, just paint a good tree in your notebook, and that I can present. Our human life can be very nicely compared with a tree. A tree has roots that take care of the I've written this down. It absorbs water or the necessary nutrition. It anchors the tree so that when wind comes and storms come, the tree is not falling to the side. And it also does something like vegetative reproduction. When something happens in the tree, a branch gets cut off by a storm or anything which is really weakening the vitality of the tree. If it has strong roots, then it can deal with this. So a human being should in the same way have strong roots which can take care that he's nourished, that he is not exhausted, that he is not, falling whenever something from outside comes, which is unexpected, when the winds of change blow. He needs also something that helps him when he's hurt, when he's damaged at times, as it happens in this world, to gain back his or her vitality. What are the roots of the tree of life? The roots of the tree of life are our spiritual nourishment, our own spirituality. With this I mean, with the term spirituality, I mean all this what brings out our human potential, that what we are capable of, that which is sometimes hidden when we are working in the everyday consciousness, where just things are piled upon us or brought to us, to which we have to react. Our potential, our spiritual potential that lies hidden inside will easily help us to deal with the great wave of life, the unexpected situations which are brought into our lives by this wave. I have seen this in the case of some friends from the Ukraine. They had strong spiritual roots and they were able to deal with this terrible genocide. It was just a few months ago when there was, when the Ukraine had problems with Russia. I think it's still going on, and soldiers came into the houses of of my friends with loaded guns. I mean, you can't go more dramatic, really. And there was the constant fear that when will they come for me and annex our house, use our cars, and so on. And they just sat together in small, you know, three or four friends. They took care of their spiritual roots by singing together, reading and sharing sacred texts together, and they remained strong. And you know, only weakness attracts other weakness. When you are strong, you usually attract stronger things in your life, stronger people, and so on. And they went very nicely through it. The next aspect of the tree of your life, I would like to say, is the trunk. It's very important to have, for the tree to have a strong trunk. And in the same way, it's very important for us to have some physical well-being. The roots, that means our spiritual practice, our spirituality, is often not visible. But the trunk of the tree is how we come across in this life. I very much appreciated when Simon said, I have a healthy sweat on my brow because I've just made a walk around the school. This is necessary to do something to take care of your physical well-being. I'm here with my assistant Gokrishna, and we take care that every day we are having a walk through the nature here, a good and healthy walk. And in addition to it, we do the 7-minute challenge. What that is we do jumping jacks. You should see me and Gokrishna. Our dhotis are in movement as we do this. So something for your physical well-being is always necessary. If you do not move your body, if you do not breathe properly, if you do not take care what you put inside, if you only put these unhealthy Gujarati prakoras into your mouth, with deep fried ghee, you will have problems in your physical well-being. Even when you are in bed, and I see one of the participants may be in bed with some temporary illness, hopefully only temporary, move your feet, move your hands, move your arms even. Something is necessary. Movement is life. Standing still is death. It's that simple. So the tree of life has to have a strong, well-cared trunk, and together with the physical well-being, which comes in the trunk session, you need to take care of your emotional well-being. The mind and the body are so much connected. You have no, it's highly undervalued, but there are many studies now out which say a healthy mind takes care of a healthy body. But if you have worries, prolonged resentment, feelings of guilt and insecurity, and you nurture them by going into the endless loop of negative thoughts, endless loops, the inner critic is merciless to us. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not well enough. I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not I have not enough acknowledgement, and so on. You do have to stop the endless negative circuits thought processes which are in the mind, because it makes one physically ill. You know, when I was a few times in the hospital in this life with serious ailments, and I do remember once when I was really close to the edge, and the doctor came and said, "This night will decide whether you live or whether you die." At that time, I started an amazing practice. I started to dance in my mind. My legs were not able to move any longer because there had been surgery on the legs and there had been a severe, it's called sepsis, or a life-threatening infection. I could not move. I had so many artificial nourishment into the veins and so much plastic going here and there. But I started to dance in my mind, joyfully. And as I did this in a regular daily way, my health came back. My immune system awoke. My mind opened up. The circulation system, which had been blocked because it was a vein surgery, it was done in the veins, and everything was activated again, like a sleeping computer who only needed an impulse, so that everything came up. Mind shapes the body. Mind shapes our life. Shape your mind and you get a new life. It's that simple. So emotional well-being. Emotional well-being, I would just like to give talk also a little bit about the six languages of relationships. Relationships give us so much emotional well-being. Disturbed relationships give us the opposite. We are haunted by the disturbances. Again and again we think of, oh, this went sour, oh no, why did this happen, why was this person so insensitive to say it? You know, these things. If you want the most nourishing factor that is good relationships, and I wanted to say emotional nourishing factors, you should know the six languages which are of a relationship, good relationships, which are given in the in one word, one work. It's called the Nectar of Instruction. It's an instruction to the mind. Upadeshamrita. There it is said, start with giving gifts. Gifts doesn't only need gifts does not only refer to physical gifts, like I gave today some nice energy bars to someone and a dhoti and so on. No, it can be also give your time and your attention. Most people need this type of charity more than anything. The time and attention. You have to see how much of it you have in order to give it. And you will see, as you take care of others, God takes care of you. It is so simple, really. There seems to be a universal law that if you really take care of others, then you are well taken care of. You are held up by this invisible law where you give and then you receive. No? In the Bhagavatam, this is a spiritual book, as you all know. It says, Atamang sarva bhutesho bhutatmanam kritalayam ahayet dhanamana bhyam Maitreya Vinena Chakshusa. Through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior and by viewing all to be alike, one will satisfy me who is living in all creatures as their very self. I've always seen this. If we see people alike, you know, oh yes, there is this unruly boy, oh, there is this crying girl, oh, there is this upset policeman, oh, there is this kind spiritual mentor, oh, there is this, see them all alike, they are part of God, and you will find a motivation to care for them and give them your gifts of attention, your friendly behavior. It's called maitri. No, the Buddhists call it loving kindness. In Sanskrit, it's maitri. And in this way, you can really see that so much comes back. I know this sounds different from the Western ideology. You take, and then you assume, ooh, I'm a rich man afterwards. No, try the other way. Give, of course, in a realistic way. We have only limited amount of time and so on. Yes, and finally, and I want to request you, focus on your inner language. When you, what your mind or what you are constantly saying to yourself, I would suggest to you, go one day through your life and just listen to what your mind says. Usually it's reoccurring things which your mind will say to you tomorrow. Also, I don't mean just the things which need immediately attention. Oh, today I have to remember to bring this paper with me or so on. No, see what your mind speaks and optimize your inner language by reading, for instance, wisdom texts regularly. I cannot tell you how much I personally profit from my morning time when I have a minimum of half an hour where I absorb myself, I wanted to say, into the sacred wisdom texts and just get a total new perspective. These wisdom texts are perspective changers. Good, that was the tree, the trunk of the tree of life, physical well-being, emotional well-being. We will go now to the crown of the tree of life, which is the social dimension. How we are with others. Because we come closely to the end of this part of our time together, where I give a lecture, I want to come to a practical point where we do some meditation together. I will just give you one practice in the social dimension, in the crown of your own tree of life. But before this, before I will give this to you, I would like to say that in our little ashram, we noted how important the relationships amongst each single member are. When there are good relationships, we found we are much more inspired. We can also, in a way, do much more seva or do many more activities. But when the relationships are not so good, when the crown of the tree is not taken care of, then we found out we weaken ourselves. So I have started, or we have started, with focusing on one of these practices which we do for others. And we do it each day of the week. Yesterday was Tuesday, it was our compassion day. We sat down, we meditated, we read some scriptures, we sang, and then we sent well wishes to everyone. Now, during the whole day, we already practice compassion towards each other. Monday is our day. We just are starting this practice, but we do it already for a few Mondays now. Active listening. We listen to a person. It's not always when you do active listening what they say, but listen to what they not say. What is between the words? Those things which are unexpressed, but which are deeply, deeply moving the other person. I listened to a very well-given lecture by Sutapa. There was one man going to the to a monk, and he said, "I have so much difficulties with my wife. It used to be such a harmonious relationship, but now I don't even like to go back home because there is misunderstanding, unrepairable misunderstandings." So the monk said to the man, "You go home and you listen to what she says." So, one day later, the troubled man returned and said, "I have listened to what she said, but it's not going anywhere, it's not better." Then the monk smiled and said, "Now you go back to your house and listen to what she does not say." Those unexpressed things which we hinted at. What a person usually does not express is what is going on right now in his or her life and in his or her inner mind. And yet, although it is an unexpressed thing, it is what informs everything which is expressed in words. I think you as teachers know better than me that when you have a child and the child is moody or the child is sad, the child doesn't respond, does not contribute the way it usually does. There's something which is there, which is lying under the surface, so to say. If you ask the child, "Why don't you speak like you usually do?" The child will shrug its shoulders and, "I don't feel like," or will say something. But you can rest assured that there is something unexpressed. So I do acknowledge that when you have a school with 1,800 children, you can't listen to everyone. But I think if you are there and you in the front and people know you talk to them as people, as not just as pupils, as students who have to sit a few hours each day in the school and learn something, but you address their concerns, the things which drive their lives, then your communication goes very well. So, yeah, this is a little bit what I wanted to present to you. I have someone with me who's not very kind with me. It's this little monster, the time indicator, who says we want to go do cover a few things. I would like to now do a little, it's a kind of active meditation with all of you, where I would like to help you to internalize the wisdom of the tree of life. If you can be so kind with me to now sit up. I saw one of our members is in a position which is necessary at this moment. So no problem for you. You can do this also in lying. I request you to sit tall. Let me adjust this a little. Yes, this is better. Or if you can't sit tall due to circumstances, it's all right. I wanted to say it's all right to sit on a chair. You don't need to sit on the floor. I myself not on the floor at this moment, for technical Zoom reasons. But you should somehow sit in a comfortable, tall pose. It should be comfortable, and you should be able to sit steady without, you know, falling to the side and so on. Take a small moment to just look around in your room. Just noticing everything without a particular interest in one object. This will help you a little bit when we go into the meditation, because you feel safe. You know your room, nothing unexpected will happen outside. Now do a few deep breaths. An easy way to deepen your breath, or even lengthen it, is to, on each exhale, exhale a little bit more than you're usually doing. Just go to the edge of your exhale and a little beyond, where you really get the air out of the lungs or the belly area. No? As you gently, mildly extend your exhale, you will also deepen your inhale. See, because most of us are sitting a lot, our breath is affected and we breathe shallow, or there are unexpressed emotions which we cannot or do not wish to show. Our breath gets affected and shallow. All this stress affects our breathing. By simply lengthening our breath as we do now, we de-stress. We have more healthy emotions. And even though we still sit, our body gets activated with fresh oxygen. So please do this. you're ready, please close your eyes as you continue to in and exhale. I request you now to concentrate on your breath. Each inhale, stay with your ingoing breath. Just be aware the air is coming in and on each exhale, stay with your exhaling breath. I will keep on talking, but as you listen, please be with your breath, conscious, mindful breathing. The mind is often restless. But if we can concentrate on our breath, it becomes peaceful. Just like a falcon, a hunting bird, in training, that is fastened to a perch, will fly at first restlessly, but then comes to peace as it settles on the perch. In the same way, our mind will settle when it is coming to the breath and staying with the breath. You heard today the analogy of the tree of life. Keep on breathing. It was an analogy meant to give you a tool to become give you well-being, that's a better word, in all aspects of your life. I request you now to make a little root check. How well are you doing in taking care of your roots? Your spiritual potential, your full human potential. And what is it that you would maybe like to introduce into your life that your roots are even more stronger, more strengthened than they are now? I will leave you with this question for a little while. Trust whatever comes up as you listen deep to your own self is relevant at this moment. Thank you. Now, with eyes still closed and deep, relaxed breathing. You don't need to exhale more than you usually do, just relaxed in and out. A second question. We will do the trunk check now. What is it that you at the present moment do for this precious human body that you have? And the second question, what is it that you would like to introduce to keep a little bit more physical well-being? Again, trust whatever comes as you actively listen to this one question. What am I doing now? What would I like to introduce? Now your emotion check. What is going on for you right now? And what could you do to improve your emotions? Does it have to do with reading something and contemplating something and replacing an old emotion that is not so useful with enthusiasm, for instance? Does it have to do with repairing a relationship or just calling someone and having a good heart-to-heart talk? Again, trust whatever comes out is relevant for you at this stage. You're almost done. What are you presently doing in the crown of your tree? Your social context. There are 6 languages of relationships to others which I know. First was giving gifts. Second is receiving gifts. Yes. Some of us need to receive graciously. We are too hard with ourselves. Third language would be to offer a conversation. The fourth is to listen to that, to another person. And the 2 remaining languages might bring a smile on your face. It is offering food that is sacred, special, wholesome, with heart, and to receive such food. What do you do and what would you like to introduce? at the end, I would like to request you to take a deep inhale, and we will end with each one in their own room chanting the sacred Om. I will do it one time for you, just to set the pitch, then we will do it all together. Again, sit straight, and when you will pronounce the Om, vibrate the Om, please let it come from a deeper place. Maybe I'm speaking now of a physical place, the stomach. Let it travel up to the chest area and then resonate in the area starting from the throat upwards into your head. I will do it one time alone, and then we will do it three times together. A deep inhale now. Higher at the end. Oh. Two times more, please. Give yourself the time to come back to room awareness. I hear some birds chirping in my computer. I don't know if you, real birds, and not just technical failure, but I have to now look with a fearful eye on my terrorist here, my time. Siam Gopala, I'm extremely sorry. I'm an undisciplined German. I wanted to stop much earlier and then end the whole thing at 5:50. Now it's 5:53. We are beyond the allotted time. This is a scandal.
Actually, we still have 5 to 10 more minutes.
Okay, but I will make it sure. I won't hold you so that you can do your other things. Good. Thank you so much for participating. And please, if you have forgotten everything of this lecture, remember this. And you might like to, write here what you do in the root program. What is your trunk program, physical and emotional well-being and social well-being? What is here? And you will have taken care of your tree of life very beautifully. It's a very simple model, very practical, extremely practical. So Siam Gopal, you wanted to take questions and then tell them to me, right?
So we've got three questions that have been submitted, and interestingly, they are exactly according to the Tree of Life. So the first question could relate to the roots, and the question is, what convinced you that the spiritual path is the right path for your life?
Ultimately, the experience which I gained by practice. If you are interested in the spiritual path and you look towards it and you think, yes, there is such a path in life and it supplies well-being to those who walk it, apparently, then it is important to first engage with the knowledge, the philosophy, the wisdom. Read or speak, ask questions, just gain a deeper understanding what it is. The second is that will help you to move closer to your spiritual path is find people who live it. In Africa, I just read this morning, there is a proverb. If you want to go fast in your life, run alone. If you want to go long in your life, the long distance, walk with many. So the people who are on the spiritual path and who somehow give you some trust, yeah, this person is... he is really integre. He seems to live by what he talks. And so some trust is necessary. And then you maybe talk to the person, or you might also read in wisdom literature the example of saints, of sadhus, those who really walk it, and you will find. So I did all this, but the last really proof or personal, you could say, that which gives you personal security is always your practice, because the practice brings you to your own experience. What is the use of something I hear about or see others doing if I do not have an experience? But when I have an experience, I will say, I know in my heart this is true.
Thank you. The second question was to do with the trunk and the emotional part of the trunk. And it was about oftentimes in our journey towards practicing the Tree of Life, like you said, there's a stone in the shoe, or something comes in front of us, and we have to let it go to move on. Yes. So how do we actually let things go, if you can answer that?
Before you are able to let something go forever, or forever is, we have to be careful with the word forever in this world. But if you want to let go of something substantially, you first need to accept what it is. You first need to own it. So if there is some stone in your shoe, some negative emotion which keeps on coming up again and again in your life, deal with it. Find out what triggers this. Find out what is it really, and so on, so that you own it and know what it is. And then, when you want to let go of it, you must see a bigger picture in your life, where this little stone appears to be so insignificant and so disturbing that the bigger picture will help you to let go of it. A good painter, a good painter is a gross understatement. There is this Let me remember. Leonardo da Vinci. We all have heard about him. He is a genius, really. He's also a mathematician and so on. He said something very, very nice, which is good, a good advice to all of those who want to let go. He says, from time to time, step back from your life as you would do from a painting. When you are in the distance, you can look more on the painting and more of it can be taken in one glance. You will see where your painting lacks proportion, where it lacks harmony, and then step again close to the painting and correct it where it needs to be corrected. So true. In the spiritual tradition, this technique is called Shakshit Vena. Take a neutral observer position. It is described both in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that you understand, I'm part of God. I'm an eternal soul. Yes, the body moves, the mind moves, but I'm neither the body nor the mind. It is something through which I work in this world, no? With which I work in this world. But I'm observing these things and I'm using the body and the mind. I'm quite different from it. So this, if you don't want to go so far, because that is not yet your reality, then just step back and from a distance look onto your life, and then it will be able to let go. But don't make the mistake to ignore what is there, to think this is so bad, I don't want to even look at it. No, you need to deal with it, you need to look at it, and then go into the big picture where it's possible to let go.
Thank you. And our final question was about the crown, and it was how can we practice compassion to our colleagues and our family, especially during lockdown, where we may not be able to see them or be with them, but we'll only be in a virtual space with them. So how can we practice compassion? And to our students.
And to our students. The best thing to practice compassion towards those who are absent from us is to just call them into your memory. There's a lot of space in your memory. Call them into your memory and then send them good feelings. What I do nowadays, my dear Avanti staff and teachers and everyone who is with us, where I also am in lockdown. I mean, it's not so drastic. We can walk here. We are not in the big city. We are at the edge of the city. I call to my mind these retreat participants. I give a lot of retreats. And I wish them well. I do this each Tuesday. What you cannot do in physical space, you can do in another space very easily. I know that I once read about Nelson Mandela when he was incarcerated, or the English word is also imprisoned, on that Rodan Island. He every day had this exercise to give positive impulses into ruling South Africa. And when he came out, he was a compassionate man. He was once interviewed, what was the Nelson Mandela who went into the prison? And what was the Nelson Mandela who went out of the prison? And this is what he answered. The Nelson Mandela who went into the prison with an angry, frustrated, revengeful man. Nelson Mandela, who walked out of the prison, was a man who wanted to do good for the welfare for others. So that is, he had done some inner work. So this inner work, oh my dear people, you can't do outer things, means speak words of compassion or give gifts of compassion, if you have not done before this the inner work. Otherwise you will suffer very quickly from a compassion fatigue. You will think, I can't see anyone any longer, it's too much, they get on my nerves, and so on. So when you cannot see your pupils or your dear ones who are there, think of them. Pray for them if you so wish. No, this will be recognized, and it will shape your character. So now, my dear everyone, I'm looking at this time. We are a little bit late, and I know how it is. Many of you have things to do. Many of you are, and even if it's at home where you have to write something and prepare something, or maybe some of you want to immediately walk out of your door and do a quick, healthy walk so that you get a healthy sweat across your brow, like our Simon has manifested. Please, once again, if you forget everything, even a child can remember a tree. But you need to fill it out. What is here going on in the roots? You need to fill out this section, and you need to fill out that section as well. I thank you very much. I think, Shyam Gopal, you should allow everyone to move on in their life. And I will just talk to you 2 more minutes. Vrinda, I see you. And Rupesh and Hirani, I see you. Radha, Kandasamy, I see you. And I wish you a healthy and good recovery. So, Haribol. And Simon, of course, I see you also. So goodbye, everyone. Haribol.
Thank you so much for everyone to come.